Are you a bit of a puzzle buff? Do you complete the daily crossword or the Sudoku? How about tackling a 400-year-old cipher which could possibly unlock the Philosopher's Stone? If you're thinking that might be the work of fiction in Harry Potter, you'd be half right. I'll leave it to Harry's friend Granger to explain what it is.
Of course, here it is. Nicholas Flamel is the only known maker of the Philosopher's Stone.
The what?
Honestly, don't you two read? The Philosopher's Stone is a legendary substance with astonishing powers. It'll transform any metal into pure gold and produces the elixir of life, which will make the drinker immortal.
Immortal?
It means you'll never die.
I know what it means.
Unlike in the Harry Potter universe, there isn't a man who's 600 years old with a stone, but an Australian scientist has just cracked the code to a recipe which may unlock the Philosopher's Stone. His name is Dr. Richard Bean, a research fellow and data scientist from the University of Queensland, and he joins me now. Welcome.
Hi, Patricia.
So how did Hermione go explaining what the Philosopher's Stone is? Was that close to the mark?
Yes, I think when we look at the text we decrypted, it has the essential elements of transmutes base metals into gold and cures you of any ailment you may be suffering. Yeah.
So what's so special about it?
Oh, well, it fits into the whole program of alchemy in the Middle Ages, which was the predecessor of chemistry. So this was the ultimate goal of all the alchemists. For example, Isaac Newton did decades of work on this, and it's the predecessor of modern chemistry. So in modern day science, we can transmute things like lead and bismuth into gold, but with great difficulty, great expense. And this was just the process of chemical experiment by which they learned modern chemistry.
But this was no work of fiction more than 400 years ago. How significant is this document that you've helped unlock?
Well, it's the only enciphered recipe for the Philosopher's Stone that we know of. So the question really is, like, why was it encrypted with this strong cipher? Obviously, there are lots of people who claim to have produced the Philosopher's Stone. For example, this document here that we're talking about was written by Arthur D, a physician to the court of the Tsar in Russia, and he wrote a book called Arca Arcanorum, or Secret of Secrets, in 1634, claiming that he'd got the recipe for the Philosopher's Stone. So maybe this was it.
Why was this unsolved for so long? What made this so difficult?
Well, it was written in a complicated cipher called the Porter cipher that was invented by an Italian cryptologist, Balasso, in the mid-1500s. And it has a very long key. So the key used to protect the cipher was 45 letters. So that's very long, even by the computer password standards of today. So you would probably need or at least be helped by modern computer power. And I happen to have access to a lot of Latin language statistics, even though I don't speak Latin. And my co-authors, Sarah from Austria and Megan from the Science History Institute in the US, they were obviously familiar with where enciphered alchemical manuscripts might be found. So they published a paper on this particular manuscript in a cryptology conference this year.
We know you've got a knack of solving these sorts of puzzles and problems. How did you break this cipher?
Yeah, so as I was saying, I had a lot of language statistics lying around from the previous decipherments, and it was really a matter of working out exactly how it was done. So I had an idea it was done in something resembling the so-called Porter cipher, and then it was a matter of working out what the properties of the key were. So I assumed it was a kind of repeated key, but I was surprised to see how long it was. And then it's a matter of finding patterns in the cipher text so that you can see Latin words start to come out or start to appear when you apply the same key in places in the ciphertext that are the same distance apart. So then I was actually able to just write it out in my notebook looking for the Latin words. So going forward and backwards from a place where I knew there was a Latin word, I could start to fill in all the blanks and work out what it said.
Did it hurt your brain? It just hurting me just listening to this. Was it really one of those things that, like, you know, that strain you feel?
Yeah, it took me a few weekends because it's really frustrating when you know, like, the basic method that was used, but you know that made mistakes in the ciphertext and whoever wrote it, and it wasn't it wasn't typical. So every, you know, unknown cipher is a new experience, and it just took a few weekends of work and. And then the joy of discovery when I started to work out, like, how long the key was and, you know, how you could build out the plaintext.
And so you've done the first part in unravelling the coded message. What happens next?
Well, it's written in Latin, sort of rather ancient Latin, so I suppose. And there are lots of concepts that we're not familiar with in it, like the ingredients themselves. It mentions, for example, the Latin mentions ravens and swans, which are probably code words for the substances you've got to use. And the time periods involved, like trilunium, which might refer to three moons or 3 months. It really requires a lot of interpretation about the context, so what the ingredients are and how long you should cook everything together for, and that's for my co-authors who are alchemical specialists.
And how confident are you that you may have unlocked the Philosopher's Stone and unravelled the elixir of life and the ability to create gold?
Well, Arthur D, he published this in 1634, but he did die sometime after that, so I suppose he wasn't successful in that sense. But, you know, in the 20th century, modern chemists have been successful in creating gold from other base metals, as I mentioned, in particle accelerators and things like that. So that part of the puzzle has been solved. It's just not quite what the alchemists anticipated. But the really interesting aspect of this is just the science history aspect. So how people learned how to do science through repeated experiments and failure. So I think that's the fascinating part for me.
Thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about this.
Yeah, you're welcome, Patricia. Thanks for having me on.
And that's Dr. Richard Bean, a research fellow and data scientist from the University of Queensland, who may have just unlocked the recipe for the elixir of life. Well, we'll see, I suppose. This is RN Drive.